top of Daf Lamed Ches Omer Aleph. The Mishnah says, Shor Shal Yisrael Shenogach Shor Shal Knani Potter. So we're potter for damages of a Shor Shal Knani, and the flip side is also true. If the Knani is Nogach L'Shor Shal Yisrael, there's also a different halacha. Instead of the normal halacha of Tamus Umuadus, is Meshalim Nezek Sholim. Omri. The Gemara analyzes this Mishnah. Nimonifshach. Ehu Dafka. If we assume that Ehu in the parish of Shor Shehizik is Dafka to mute, to exclude Shor Shel Knani, is then the Knani Ki Nogach Di Yisrael Nami Liftar. If the Torah is telling you that when we are nogeach a shor shel knani with potur, because knani is not called reyehu, so knani through the pasuk reyehu is mufka from the parish of nezikin, is then the same should be true in the other direction. If the shor shel knani was nogeach a shor shel Yisrael, then the Knani should be potter, because if the parsha is not talking about Knani, but rather Reyehu, then Reyehu excludes Knani in all directions. Ve'i Reyehu lav dafka is afil di Yisrael ki nogach de Knani nechayev. If such is the case, that we don't take Reyehu to exclude Shel Knani, and that's why, in the case of Shor Shel Knani, there is a chiyuv. So then, if a Shor Shel Yisrael is no geth, there should be a chiyuv. So if a Jew's ox gores the ox of a non-Jew, there should be payment, because we're not taking Reyehu as a miut. Om Rabbi Avo, Om Akra, Pasuk in Tanakh says, Omad vayimoded oretz ra vayater goyim. And how do we darshan this pasuk? Ra means HaKadosh Baruch Hu contemplated, so to speak, sheva mitzvahs shekibu aleim b'nei Noach. If the b'nei Noach would fulfill the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, that would be one thing. But Kevin Shalokimo, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the Bnei Noach did not fulfill the Sheva Mitzvahs, Omad Vehitir Mamonam Li Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that their Mamon is Hefker, such that if a Shor Shel Yisrael was Nogech, a Shor Shel Knani, Shel Ben Noach, Potter. On the other hand, the Shor of a Knani that was Nogech, a Shor Shel Yisrael, he should pay Nezek Sholem. Based on this sugya of Rabbi Avo, both the Meiri and the Shita Mekubetzes in the name of Yonasan want to limit this, the application of this principle of Lemu'ute Shel Knani. On the one hand, the Meiri wants to suggest that if you have members of the Bnei Noach that are Mekayim the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, then they are included in the Parsha of Nezikin, which means we have to pay them for damages of their Shor, and they have to pay only Chatzi Nezik in the damage of our Shor. And the Meiri speaks about Umos HaGeduros B'Nimusim. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Yonasan says that our Mishnah, to the exclusion of Knani of the Parsha of Nezikin, that's only talking about the Sheva Umos Kadmonios, about which the Torah commands Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama. And the Meiri points out that Ein Hagoyim chasin al momen azulas, that amongst the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach we have gzela, and the goyim are not careful about yenim's momen, and therefore kansam hakasav, the Torah imposed this penalty, this knas, l'shalim nezik sholem, that they should pay full damages in the case of a shartam, shelo yargilu atzmam lahazik. And this was meant to impose upon them and instruct them, to impact on them, that they should be careful about their mazikim. And a similar idea you'll find again in the Shita Mukubetz in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that they were very cruel, achzorim v'leiv ra'alahem, that they were choshed on Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, then certainly they would not be careful on watching their damages. Einam mitzorim b'tzoras achayhem, they don't care about the suffering or the loss of others, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed this knas for the purpose of having them observe the laws of Shmiras Nezikin in a more meticulous way. Back to the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Omar Mehacha. Rabbi Yochanan has a different source for the same conclusion. At the end of Sefer Dvarim, it says, Parshas Zos Habrocha, Hofia Mehar Paran. Hashem appeared from the mountain of Paran. Mi Paran, that's the place, as Rashi explains, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented to the Umas Olam the invitation to receive the Torah, and they refused. And Tosis Divra Maskil Mi Paran says that Paran is not Sinai. And he proves it from a Gemara in Shabbos. Midbar Sinai Godol Venechlak L'chamisha Chalokim Chol Chelik Nikra B'Shem Acher, and one of the various districts of Midbar Sinai is Paran, but another district is called Sinai, and Paran is in that part that's parallel to the land of Yishmael. Eretz Yisrael is called Paran, and at that location, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to the Umas HaOlam to invite them to receive the Torah. And of course, they refused. But again, in the Shita Mukbetz, you'll find that Paran here is a reference to Har Sinai. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Israel in Midbar Paran, that's Sinai. And at that point, says Rabbi Yochanan, Hofia. What does Hofia mean in this Pasuk Mehar? Mehar Paran. Literally, Ophia means to reveal himself. But Rashi says, Vehutar Mamonam Yisrael. Their money, their possessions became Mutar Yisrael, that if our Shar was Nogeach their Shar, then we're Potter, and if their Shar is Nogeach our Shar, they pay Nezik Sholem. Tanya Nami Hachi, and we see in the Brisa a similar drasha, in fact, both drashas. The Brisa says, "Shor shall Yisrael shenaga shor shall kanani potu shor shall kanani shenaga shor shall Yisrael bein tam bein mur meshalim nezek sholim shenemar." First, quoting the pasuk in Chavakuk, which was quoted by Rabbi Avo, Omad vayimodid eretz rov vayater goyim, and then Viomer, an additional pasuk quoting the drasha of Rabbi Yochanan, Hofia Mehar Paran. And again, if you look in the pasuk in Chavakuk, it says Vayater. And Vayater means Hifkir. And Rashi, in the case of Hofia Mehar Paran, also says V'itiru. The same word, the same term. The Gemara asks, why does the Brisa feel a need to quote both drashos? Why isn't the first drasha enough? Or perhaps the the first pasuk. My viomer, v'chi tema, if you only had the first pasuk, you could argue. Hi, omad v'yamodid eretz. We need that pasuk. Mi boile l'chida Rav Masna u'kida Rav Yosef. The drushas, which we're going to have in a minute, of Rav Masna and Rav Yosef. And if I cannot derive, as Rabbi Yavo would have it, lahatir mamonim shel ha'umos, toshma, we have the second drush of hofia, me'ar poron, Miparn Hofia Mamonam Li Yisrael. And again, the word Hofia, Rashi says, is Gila Mamonam Vihitiro. But the Brisa does quote the first Drasha from the Pasuk Amod Vayamoded Eretz. Amad Vayamoded Eretz Ravayater Goyim. And Tosiyontif explains, Vayater Goyim is mashma that he was matir mamonam. And that's even a better drasha, closer to pshat than hofia. Let's take a look now at the drashos of Rav Masna and Rav Yosef. My Rav, the Rav Masna, the Omer Rav Masna, Amad v'yedonit modaretz, ra v'chulei v'yater goyim, ma ra, ra shem v'mitzvah shenitztavu aleim b'nei noach v'lo kimum, amad v'higla osam me'al admosam. As many of the ancient nations were removed from their land, for example, you'll find in Parshas Dvarim, Kaftorim, hishmidu esa'arim ayoshim v'chatserim, v'yashu tachtam, the Torah says, Bnei Esav, Hishmiru Sachorim, Ayoshu Besoyer. All these psukim indicate that the Goyim were sent into their Golos. And the reason for this, as the Pasuk says, Vayater Goyim, is because the Umos HaOlam were not loyal and committed to the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Umay mashma dahai vayater lishna de agluyehu. We were learning until now that vayater means to remove their claims for possessions. Now we're saying no, it means golus. And Rav Masna answers, ksiv hocha vayater goyim uksiv hosam. With regard to sheretz ha'of, which is mutar b'achila, if it has kroyim, it says linater bahen al ha'aretz umetargin. If you look in Unkelis, lekapotza bahon al ara. So it means that the word linater means to jump from one place to another, which indicates golus, that they were removed from their land, and this was all a punishment for the sheva mitzvahs bnei Noach. Umayd Rav Yosef, what was the drush of Rav Yosef? Diom Rav Yosef, Omad, Vayamodid Eretz, Ro, Vayater Goyim, Aro, Ro, Shev Mitzvah, Kibbo Aleim, Menenoch, Lo Kimum, Omad, Vitiron Lohem. And the implication of the words of Rav Yosef is that just as Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves Taryag Mitzvahs, so too in a parallel way the Umos HaOlam accepted upon themselves Sheva Mitzvahs, but then they did not live up to their commitment. And if Hashem said, you know what, you accepted upon yourself, that Kabbalah is worthless. And we go back to square one, you don't have the Sheva Mitzvahs. We assume that a Ben Noach has Kedusha Sheva Mitzvahs. Here we assume, no, hitiru lahem. They don't even have the chiyuv of the sheva mitzvahs. So this is very strange. The Gemara says, itagure itagar. Is it true that the Umos HaOlam received, tagar means schar, and they were rewarded for the kaviyachol, for the fact that they weren't mekayim the mitzvahs? HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is matir these mitzvahs, and they will never be punished for them. It came, Matsinu Chotei Niskar, We have a principle that a person doesn't benefit from a sin. Here we see that the Yuma Solom benefited from sin. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know, you're no longer committed and you'll no longer be punished for the Sheva Mitzvahs. Omar Mar Breder Avina. There's no question that they will be punished if they don't fulfill the Sheva Mitzvahs. What does Rabbi Yosef mean? He tiron. Lomar, this means Shafilu Mekaymen Osan Ein Mekablam Aleim Schar. It's a no-win situation. They'll be punished for Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, but on the flip side, for the fulfillment of Sheva Mitzvahs, they don't get Schar. So the Gemara says, V'lo, is it possible to say that a guy who fulfills Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach doesn't receive reward? V'asanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Minayin Shafilu Nochri, V'yosek B'Torah, Shuki Kohen Gadol. And what does it mean that a guy is Osek B'Torah? Tosus is famous for saying that in other sugyas we see that if a guy learns Torah, he's usurping that which belongs to the Jewish people. He's Chayv Misa as a gazlan. The answer is this is referring to a guy who studies Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach and he wants to understand how to fulfill the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And if that be the case, then you see clearly that a guy will receive reward. It's something positive for the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. He's like a Kohen Gadol. Now the mashal here of a Kohen Gadol going in to Kodshei Kodshim is a mashal to the Torah itself. It says, Yikarahi mipninim, the Torah is as valuable, Pasuke Mishlei, as pninim, as precious pearls, and the Gemara says in Sota that's a reference to the Kohen Gadol at Nichnas Lifnai Velifnim. So there's a relationship here between Kohen Gadol and the study of Torah. Talmud Lomer, this is derived in this brisa from a pasuk, Asher Yase Osam HaAdam V'Chay Bohem. Kohanim Levim Yisraelim Lo Nemar Ela Adam, Mashma, even a non-Jew, Halamadata Shafilu Nochri V'Yosek B'Torah Reu K'Kohen Gadol, and the assumption is that he will be duly rewarded for this great Maila. He's Makabel Schar for learning the Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and by implication he'll be Makabel Schar for fulfilling the Mitzvahs that were given to Bnei Noach, even though again, the Gemara Bava Metzia quotes Rav Shimon Bar Yochai that the word Adam excludes the Umos HaOlam. So Tosfos here, Dibre Maskil Ella, quotes Rashi in Sanhedrin that Rav Meir holds like the Rabbanon who reject Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and assume that even Oved Kochavim Kriyim Adam. Rabbeinu Tam is quoted as saying that even Rabbi Meir agrees to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Ein Ovdei Kochavim Kriyim Adam, but nevertheless, here, the drasha is acceptable, even with regard to Akum, because there's a difference between Adam and Ha-Adam. And Akum are not considered Adam, but they are included under Ha-Adam. Ha'ad means the entire human race, including the Umos HaOlam. And the Shivtu Megretzes tries to explain the difference between Adam and Ha'adam under the principle of Ein Miut Achar Miut El L'Rabo. So Adam is a Miut, Ha'adam is another Miut, is a Ribui for Akum. Now, it's interesting, Rabbi Meir technically was addressing Limud Torah, but yet the Gemara assumes that the Limud Torah of a guy is a means to an end, and that is to fulfill the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And what we're allowed to teach to a guy, the Gemara explains in Sanhedrin, is only the Sheva Mitzvahs. If we teach him the rest of the Torah, that's not acceptable, and the guy is Chayv Misa for that. And the difference is, because with regard to the rest of the Torah, we say Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. It was given to us, Lanu. V'lo Lahem, but Sheva Mitzvahs, you can't say Lanu Tziva V'lo Lahem. They're in its Tava. Therefore, the Gemara assumes that when it says that Hutra Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, it means that they aren't Mitzuva Lehem. If they're not Mitzuva Lehem, shall we say therefore it's also for them to learn even Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach? So we have a stira here, because on the one hand we're saying that what was the language of Rav Yosef? Hitirim Lehem. Which means they're not mitzuva in Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. If that be the case, then now Chozer V'Nir, the Isur of studying the Torah, should apply to them, because the whole heter was that they are included in the tzivui with regard to Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. Omri, the Gemara answers, Ein mekablam lehem schar ki mitzuva v'yoseh el kimi she'enu mitzuva v'yoseh. They are included under the mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, and they will get duly rewarded, but not the ultimate reward. It becomes an Eino Mitzuve Viose. And their Kabbalah's mitzvahs is not enough to engender a Mitzuve Viose situation. An Ose Mitzvah Mirtzono, meaning someone who voluntarily fulfills a mitzvah, he's not obligated to do so, is on a lower madrega than someone who does it because of the tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the mitzvah v'yoseh. That status they forfeited when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was matir lahem in that pasuk of Amad v'yimodid eretz according to Rav Yosef's drasha. Tosfos in Masechta the Kedushin is famous for saying that why is Mitzuv V'yosa a greater madrega? Because he has a daiga, he's worried, and he's very anxious about the possibility that he won't fulfill the mitzvah. But someone who's not obligating the mitzvah, you know, he takes it easy, he's laid back, he has pas pasal, he thinks that, okay, in the worst case scenario, I didn't fulfill something that's totally voluntary in any event. And the Achronim point out that according to Tosfos, a guy who'll be punished if he doesn't fulfill Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, Lechora, he doesn't fit into that category of Eino Mitzuv V'yosa, because Tosfos says the Daiga Ben Yava. The Ritva writes that Mitzuv V'yosa is the Satan is Mekatrek. There's no Kitrug, there are no barriers put in front of him by the Satan if he's an Eino Mitzuv V'yosa. And since we have a principle from Tzara Agra, that the greater the challenge, and the greater the overcoming of the challenge, the greater the reward. Therefore, a guy, as an Eino Mitzuv V'yoseh, he doesn't have that barrier, and therefore he doesn't get the commensurate reward. The Ritva also quotes another opinion, that the purpose of the mitzvah is not to be Mahana Kodesh Baruch Hu, God doesn't need our mitzvahs, but rather to be Mezaka us. Therefore, someone who's mitzuvah, he is Mekayim, the mitzvah of the Melech, and he gets a great schar. If he's an Eino Mitzuvah B'kach, then he's doing it out of the Tuv Lev and out of his piety, his chassidus, he's self-motivated. But he doesn't have that Maila, that extra level of being Mekayim, Mitzvahs HaMelech. And why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mafsid? Why did he remove from the Umas Olam the state of Mitzuva V'yosa? Says the Chassam Sofer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that it's not a good thing that there should be a mixture of Kedusha of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach together with the Tumas HaGoyim, because they're not Shomrim HaMitzvahs. So to grant them, to bestow upon them and engender in them the Kedusha of Sheva Mitzvahs, together with this antithetical combination of Tumas HaGoyim, that was impossible. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away that Kedusha, the Kedusha of Isur, the Kedusha of Chiyuv, of Mitzuva V'yosa, and they left it in the status of Eina Mitzuva V'yosa. Tanu Rabbanan, Ukvar Sholcha Malchus Romi Shnei Sradiotos. The kingdom of Rome sent two officers in the king's court, Eitzel Chachmei Yisrael, and they were sent to study Torah. According to Yerushalmi, it was at the feet of Rabbi Gamliel. Limdunu Torascham. Teach us your Torah. And here the obvious question, you're not allowed to teach Torah to Goyim, and that's a Gemara in Chagiga Yud Gimel, Mishpatim Bal Yedom, and it's also Lifnei, because the Goy himself is also to study Torah. And Tosus, Dira Masil Karu Vishanu, explains that this was a case of Pikuach Nefesh. They were anusim, they were forced by the kingship of Rome. And there's no din of Mesiris Nefesh here in this case. According to a version of this Haggadah in the Sifri, they presented themselves to Rabbi Gamliel as if they wanted to be gerim. And therefore, the Chachamim agreed to teach them Torah. Karu Vishanu Vishilshu, these officers studied from the Chachamim the Torah, and they reviewed it three times, over and over again. And according to the pasuk in Koheles, Hachut Hameshulash Lo Bimheri Yinotek, if you review something over and over again three times, then it's going to stick with you. You'll remember it. According to the Yerushalmi, they studied Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Halachas, and Agadus. Ubishas Ptirosam, again, I don't know how many years later, when they went back, the Amrulahem, they turned to the Chachmei Yisrael, they said, Dikdaknu b'chol Torascham v'emeshu. We're very impressed with the entire Torah. Chutz midover zeh. But there's one exception, there's one thing that we cannot tolerate. Now, it doesn't seem that they were accepting upon themselves to fulfill the Torah. It seems like they were praising the Torah. And the Shita Mekubetzes quotes the Ra'ah that their taina was Enom Maminim LiYisrael. With regard to one particular part of the Torah, they cannot accept the interpretation of the Chachmei Yisrael. And what is that? She'atem omrim shor shel Yisrael shenogach shor shel Knani potuv shel Knani shenogach shel Yisrael ben tamu ben mu'ud mishalim nezek sholim. And we have a kash on this. Again, above and beyond perhaps the emotional level. Mimonifshach, they asked. E Re'ehu Dafka, if you're telling me that Re'ehu is imbued to exclude Shor Shel Yisrael, Shenogach Shor Shel Knani, from the Parsha Nezikin and the Chiyuv liability, in that case, Afilu L'Knani, you should flip it in the other direction. Ki Nogach Yisrael Ipater, a guy is Mufka from Nezikin. So if the guy was Mazik Yisrael, he should be part of Re'ehu Lav Dafka. And if you're dropping Re'ehu, and therefore, a Shor Knani doesn't have the mute of Re'ehu. That's why he's Chayv in Ezekin. Then it should go the other way as well. Afilu di Yisrael ki nogach de Knani lechayev. Without the mute of Re'ehu, a Yisrael who is Mazik a guy should be paying. And the Brisa says, "V'dover zeh einonu modin oso lamalchus." That these officers would not reveal this to the malchus because of sakana. Rashi learns here, "Dibra maschil chutz midover zeh." that the Chachamim didn't reveal or explain the answer to the question that these Sarim were asking, because the underlying principle is that Mamon shall Knani Becheskes Hefker, and to reveal that to a guy would be a Mamish Sakana. But the simple pshat in the Yerushalmi, at least, is that the officers, the Sradiatios of the Romans, they had a chesed, they had rachmanis on the Jewish people, that they wouldn't bring back this halacha because it would put the Jewish people into a sakana. And now we start a very difficult piece of agadata. Difficult, I don't mean in terms of explaining the words, but to explain it conceptually. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Shchivalei Brata. Rav Shmuel, one of the Amoraim, lost a daughter. The Gemara doesn't tell us much about this girl, what age she was at. Did she have children of her own? Amrulei Rabbanan li'ula. So Rabbanan turned to Ula. Kum nezel menachame. Let's go up and be menachem Rav Shmuel. Amrulei Ula turns to Rabbanan. My isli gabi nechemta de bavloi de gidufahu. Why should I join with you who are here from Bavel? Ula was from Eretz Yisrael. I don't want to go with you and join with you because your approach to Nechama is giduf. It implies some sort of rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that amongst those who went from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, one of them was Ula, and the Gemara in Tainus seems to assume that Ula was very critical of the Bavliim, and here's an outstanding case in point. Why was he so upset? Why did he object so severely to the approach of the Bavliim to Nichum Avelim, the Amri? Because when you come to be Menachem, what you say is my Efshar Lemevad. Meaning, what can we do? There was a Gzeirah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the mess should die. We have to accept it. And the implication, says Ula, of that statement is Ha'efshar, if we could only do something against the Gzeirah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the divine decree, if we could bring back the dead to life, is Lemeved Avdi. Avdi, we would do it. We're not willing to accept the divine decree. The Rama actually codifies this agadata in Shulchan Aruch Yerodea, Simon Shinayin Vav, Al Yomar Odom Li Ovel Malacha Lasos, Ki I Efshar Lashanos. What can you do? There's nothing to do. There's except what's happening because we can't change it anyway. Zeu Giduf, says the Rama, Demashma Ha Efshar Lashanos Haya Osel, Yi Kabbal of Xeris Hashem Yizbarach Be Ava. The Chassam Sofer, however, says that the Rif and the Rambam didn't bring this din in their codes, and it would seem, says the Chassam Sofer, they paskin like the Chachamim, and therefore Ula was not accepted. We don't have to be worried about this. And the Gemara now tells us also Hu lechudoi gabe. Ula went up alone to be Menachem Rav Shmuel Rav Yehuda. And now we have to see what exactly was the tzura, the approach of Ula to Nichum Avelim. He's not going to accept the approach of the Bavliim. And he begins Ula by quoting a pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim. Vayomer Hashem, a lie, God turns to Moshe Rabbeinu, Al Totzer Esmov, Al Tizgar Bom Milchama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu not to do milchama. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do battle against Moab, and he certainly thought that Moab deserved to be destroyed. Actually, they were the ones who instigated what we're going to learn in Mirtz Hashem, here in Eretz Yisrael, at least in this week's parasha, Parasha Balak, to bring Bilam to curse the Jewish people. Let's go up and fight against them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no. Al teitzer es mov, al tizgar bom b'milchama. And it seems that, according to Tosus here, Dibra Maskil Nosa, it comes out that like this. Isur ze shalolasus milchama mov eino ela she Yisrael o yasim milchama me atzmam ach im heim misgarim b'Yisrael mutuli lochem b'hem. And Tosus refers to a parsha nach in Shoftim Perigimel b'mei Eglon melech Moav. They were pressing against the Jewish people, and there it was mutter to do battle against them. And the Marsha adds that, according to the Gemara's explanation later on, that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu prohibited battling against Ammon and Moab is because David and Shlomo would be descendants of Ammon and Moab. Then you have to add that at the time of Eglon Melech Moab, when the Klal Yisrael went out to battle him, David was already born, and therefore there was no Issur to battle against them. The Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos in the Shroshim leaves out this Issur because it's not an Issur L'Doros. The Ramban assumes that it's an Issur L'Doros, and he wants to count this Lav in the Minyan Alav. Now, the Gemara asks the following question. I should say Ula asks the following question. V'chima ola al daito shel Moshe lasis milchama shelo b'rishus. Moshe was never commanded to do battle against Moav. What was the thought process of Moshe to wage war midaito, based on his own logic, against Moav? Ela nosa Moshe kalvachomer biatzmo viomar uma midyonim shalobo ela lazar es Moav. Omra Torah tsroris a midyonim vikisem osam. And here we're turning to Lamaches of Beis. Moavim atzmam lo kolshken. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded to do battle against Midyan, they were only accomplices to the crime, then how much more so against Moav? The Midyanim were there to help Moav. Moav, Balak Melech Moav, called upon Bilam, who was from Midyan, to come to his aid. And what happened at the end of this whole parsha is that Bilam gave Balak an Eitzah to be Mafkir Benoseim Liznus, to allow the daughters of Moab to have immoral relations with Yisrael. And as a result of this, Kozbi Basur was killed. So all this indicates that it was really Moab that's the root of this evil against Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Moshe derived from this Kal Vachomer that we should certainly do battle against Moav. And there's a chiddush here from the Beis Meir. Why did Moshe need the Kal Vachomer? And after all, even without the Kal Vachomer, what Issur in Moshe's mind would have applied here? And the answer is that going out to battle means to endanger the lives of the Jewish people. Without the Kal Vachomer, it would have been a reshus, perhaps, before the Issur that HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed. But for reshus, Moshe would not endanger the lives of Jewish soldiers, but now that through the Kal Vachomer he derives a mitzvah, becomes a Milchemes mitzvah, and that certainly gives permission to endanger the lives of Jewish soldiers. Now, the question here is, does Moshe really want to derive this from a Kal Vachomer in the full sense? If you look at the Pasuk, Tzrar Es HaMidyanim, which seems to be the basis for Moshe Rabbeinu's Kal Vachomer, that Pasuk appears before the Pasuk Al Teitzer Es Moav. If you look at Tosis, Divrei Maskil, Nasa Moshe Kal Vachomer, at the bottom of the Daf, on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, you will see that Tosis proves that the tzivui of Tzoras HaMidyanim was later than the Azara of Al Teitzer Es Moav. And therefore Tosis comes to the conclusion that Rabbeinu Tam, Lav Dafka, it's not really a Kal Vachomer, Klomer Osid Moshe Lisa Kal Vachomer. This is Al Shema Osid. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Moshe would make this Kal Vachomer, and therefore he was makdim, and he warned Moshe Rabbeinu not to battle against Moav. Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo k'sha'ol sa'adatcha ol sa'adati. Don't go out to battle against Moav. And why not? Sheshtei predos tovos, Yeshli lahotzi mihen rus hamoaviyah v'nama ha'amonis. That there are two girls, wonderful girls, that are going to come out of Moav. The mashal here is predos, which are, I would like to say it's swans, but some sort of beautiful bird. And one of them is rus hamoaviyah, and the other is Nama HaAmonis. There are two important comments that I wanted to call to your attention. One is the Chidah, who says that Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God was declaring Yesh Be'umos Elu, in these two Umos of Amon Umov Nishamos Kedoshos Shani Osid Levarom Lafridom Mipsoles Hara Miklipos Amonu Moav. There's an admixture of Kedusha amongst this Psoles. And God says, I want to separate that Kedusha from that Psoles. And that's the word Preda here. Even though Preda again is the name of a bird, but it's symbolic, it's a metaphor, if you will, for the process of Hafrada, that HaKadosh Baruch wants to separate from the Psoles of Ra, the Klipos of Amonu Moav, the Kedusha, the Neshamos, of these two predos of Rus and Nama. And another comment that I wanted to call to your attention in the Pnei Yoshua, he says, wait a minute, the Torah itself in Dvarim Beis gives a different explanation as to why we don't go to battle against Moav and Ammon. And that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a Nachla, because they were the descendants of Lot. But nevertheless, once Moav was pressing against Israel, and they invited Bilam to curse the people of Israel, at that point, even though they, the Ammon and Moav, received that land that was promised them by Lot, nevertheless, it would be mutter for Klal Yisrael to battle against them, which is exactly what Moshe thought he had to do. And the Torah now adds another reason why we're not allowed to battle against them, even after they pressure us, is because of these predos tovos that are going to descend from Ammon and Moav. And it's only for this reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will eventually bring from Ammon and Moav these two predos tovos. If not for those two predos, there would be no Isur to battle against Ammon and Moav. And you might ask, says the Pnei Yeshua, Harbe Umos Yotzimem Gerim Gdolim. There are many different nations of the world that Gerim, very significant Gerim, came from those nations. And nevertheless, we don't find any specific Issa to go out to battle against them. And based on this, the Pnei Yoshua says the thinking of Moshe Rabbeinu was such that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't prohibit going out to battle against other nations despite the Gerim that would come out, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would find a way, despite the Milchama, of saving certain elements or certain families amongst those nations so that to guarantee that the Gerim would be descended from them. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do the same here in the case of Ammon and Moab, and that's the thinking of Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, the Pnei Yeshua says the real reason why we aren't allowed to go to battle against Ammon and Moab, which is stated explicitly by the Torah in Dvarim Beis, is because of the Nachla, the Yerusha of Bnei Lot. But that Nachla, Yerusha, Bnei Lot, would not be enough of a zchus to protect Ammon and Moab. They don't deserve that, because in and of themselves they were Mizgara B'Yisrael. But nevertheless, they did have a schus in the fact that those two predos would come for them. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't mention the sin of Ammon and Moab against Klal Yisrael with regard to this milchama that's going to be prohibited because of the Yerusha's Bnei Lot. So according to Pnei Yeshua, the bottom line here is because of the Yerusha Bnei Lot, just that we need some sort of counter against the Hizgaru B'Yisrael, which is a terrible sin, and that is the schus of these two predos. Now the Gemara assumes here that Ammon was Mizgara B'Yisrael. And therefore Tosa asks the question, in Tomar, the second Tosfos, or the first Tosfos on Lamech Chesamid Beis, Tenach Moav Adomi V'Amon Ma'ikel Meimar Yesh Lomar De'itzrich Lesolem Angaria. Okay, so this has become clear in Yirtz Hashem as we go through the Gemara's answer. The Gemara says the following, V'alo Dvarim Kal V'chomer. Now is Ula's so-called Nechama to Rab Shmuel, who lost his daughter, Ma Bishvil Shtei Predos Tovos Chas HaKadosh Baruch Hu al shtei umos gedolos velo hechrivan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rachmanus on two great nations. And perhaps the Gemara is emphasizing the greatness of these nations, that their chet was rav v'otzum. And nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't go out to battle against these enormously evil doers. And why? Because of the Shtei Predos Tovos, his Bito Shel Rebbe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have spared your daughter, Rev Shmuel, im ksherehi ureuyehi lotzeis mimena dover tov, zalachas kama kama dehava chaya. Now there is some inherent logic to this, but how could you call this nechama? To say that this is Divrei Nechama, to tell Rav Shmuel that his daughter was not a Kshera, and obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that no great descendants would come from her, and therefore he took her life, that seems like anything but harsh Tochacha, certainly not soft Nechama. You look in the Ein Yaakov here, in his Pirush on the Agadata, he's medayik from the beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Shchivo le brata. Now, I'm not exactly sure how to understand this diuk, but he says that the mashmos of the language of Shchiva means that she left a daughter, which would be Rav Shmuel's granddaughter. And that granddaughter was on the same level as her mother, Rav Shmuel's daughter. And therefore, the Nechama here comes in to say that your tsar here is not that she's gone and there's no one to replace her. She does have a daughter, your granddaughter, to replace her, but maybe there would have been other descendants that would have come from her. And that was the nechama that ein osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu lotzeis mimena dover tov. At the end of the day, it's a kind of nechama that's hard for us to understand on our level. This is on the level of the Amoraim, which is something that's beyond our comprehension, how this could be nechama. But again, it's teaching us a way of, according to Ula, not just accepting the divine decree, because Nebuch, we have no way of battling against it, but moreover, understanding and almost supporting the divine decision here. Now again, is she ekshera, is she not ekshera? If you take a look in the Maral Prague, in his Chidush HaGadol, he says that if you're careful about reading the Gemara says, im ksheira hi. And he asks, lama tamus im lo hayaroi lotzis mena dover tov, why isn't it just enough to say that she was a ksheira, and therefore on her own merit, she should be granted life rather than death? And he wants to suggest that there's no question about this premise that if she was really a tova and a kshira, she would not die. But maybe you'll say that even if she wasn't a tova, she still should have lived because of asid latzis min adover tov. So that Ula never said explicitly that she wasn't a kshira, she in and of herself. That would be too much of a gnai. Now, at this point, we want to mention Rabbeinu Bachai in his Pirush on Breishis Yutes, that Rus, of course, the Moaviah, was married to Boaz, and they had Oved, who was the father of Yishai, the father of David, the father of Shlomo. Naama, says Rabbeinu Bachai, was from Ammon, and she was ultimately married to Shlomo HaMelech. The Ben Yehoyada has a couple of kashas on this, but in any event, from the marriage between Naama from Ammon and Shlomo Melech, eventually Rehavam, who was the king, ruled after the death of Shlomo Melech in Melachim Aleph, Perkid Aleph, was born. And even though the pasuk seems to imply that Shlomo HaMelech was punished for the fact that he took wives from Ammon, because they in fact worshipped Avodah Zarah, but the intention of that pasuk is not vis-a-vis Naama, but rather other Benos Ammon. The Gemara now brings a Mila of Ammon which supersedes that of Moab, and this is the story of the Bnos Lot, who after the Hafichas Dom, they were of the impression that the world is completely desolate, and they were the only ones left, and they had relations with their father Lot. From those relations came Ammon and Moab. Omar, Rab Chiya bar Avraham, Rab Yonasan, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapech Schar Kol Birya. HaKadosh Baruch doesn't let any good deed go pass without reward. Vafilu schar sicha noh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants reward even for someone who is modest in speech and uses the clean language. Even for something that seems so, shall we say, insignificant. It's not something that's dramatic and profound. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants reward. And where do we see this? De'ilu, with regard to the daughters of Lot, Habchira, the older one, Dika Amra, she said that I want to name the child of my relation with my father Moav, which means that she became pregnant from her father. That's how she publicizes it in the very name Moab that she gave. And Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Al tatzer es Moab, al tiskar bom milchama. Now emphasize that last additional word, milchama. Don't go out to battle against them. Says Reb Chiya, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe by implication? Milchama hu delo yaseh bahem. He shouldn't do milchama against them. Ha angaria ovid behu. But you can enslave them, l'shabdom, that they should work for Klal Yisrael, that's okay. Angaria ovid behu. And even if we'll say that al tatzes moav, without the word milchama would have been enough to understand that we cannot go out to battle against them. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu adds this word milchama in his tzivui to Moshe to tell you, a mute, that, you know what, on the one hand, on the flip side, on the one side, don't do milchama, but on the flip side, you should enslave them. And that's what Moav deserves, because of this lack of tznius. Hatzeira, but when the second daughter had relations with her father, Dika'amra, the name that she gave to her son, was Ben Ami, a son from my nation. And the pasuk says in Bereishis Yutes, Vatzeira gam hu, gam hi yolda ben, Vatikra shmo ben ami, hu avi bnei amod ad hayom. And ben ami means a ben of my nation. And she was much more tzniustic about the fact, hiding, as it were, the fact that this child was born from a relationship she had with her own father. And therefore, Moshe, now take a look at this pasuk where the word milchama is dropped. Vikaravta mul b'nei Amon. Al titsuram v'al tiskar bum, and that means in any, you shouldn't oppress them in any way, in any shape or form. Klal doesn't say milchama, so that word milchama as a mi'ud doesn't appear. Da'afilu angaria lo tavid behu, don't oppress them even with enslavement. V'omar abchir barama rab yeshua ben karchli olam yaktim odom l'dvar mitzvah. A person should always try to fulfill a mitzvah with zrizus, with alacrity, as much as he possibly can. And he shouldn't say, you know, I could postpone it, I could procrastinate. Shebishvil laila achas shekadmasa bechira letzeira. The older daughter of Lot, again, their kavana was the shem shamayim, because they thought there was no one left on the planet, and therefore that's a dvar mitzvah. And she came first, one day earlier. Is therefore k'damasa arba doros liyisrael, four generations. And who are these four generations? Is Oved, Yishai, David, Ushlomo. It's going to take generations down the line. Dechsiv, v'shem imo, nama, amonis. So when did the zera of Amon enter into Klal Yisrael? That's only with Rechavam. That was much later than four doros of Oved, who was zera Moav. In other words, Oved is four generations before Rechavam. Oved is the descendant of Moav, because from Rus HaMoaviah and her relationship, her marriage relationship with Boaz, comes Oved. He's four generations before Rechavam, who is the first Jewish descendant of Ammon, and is the son of Shlomo. So that's full four generations later. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this kedima of four generations as a zchus, as a merit, as a reward to Moav. Of course, the mother of Moav, who was the older of the two daughters, was makdim the mitzvah by a day. Again, on the other hand, because of a lack of tznius in calling her son Moav, therefore she would be subject, meaning her descendants, to Angaria to be enslaved. So there's a mila in each one of these two daughters. The Bechira, from the fact that she was makdim and was the mother of Moav, and ultimately the mother of Rus, and therefore Oved, as the first Jew that would come from Moav, got the kedima four generations before the younger daughter, who waited a day later. But on the other hand, the younger daughter was more tsanua, and calling the name of her child Amod, as opposed to that pre-tzaddika Moav, she was rewarded in the fact that not only would there be no milchama against Amon, but there won't even be Angaria against Amon. So each one of the two sisters had her own milo and was rewarded in that way. Now the Gemara, after finishing this Haggadah, goes back to the Mishnah of Shor Shel Akum Shenogach. The Gemara quotes a brisa which deals with the status of Kusi vis-a-vis the laws of Nezikin. Tana Rabbanu, we learned in a brisa, Shor Shel Yisrael Shenogach Shor Shel Kusi. And again, the question of a Kusi is a question of what their status. This is a nation that during the time of Melech Ashur, they were located by the king of Ashur in the cities of Shomron, in order to repopulate the land after the Golus of Asar Shvatim by Melech Ashur. Initially they did not serve Hashem, and Hashem was angry at them, sent lions against them. They were afraid of the lions, and therefore they were Mizgayer in Melachim Beis Perek Yud Zayin. And the Gemara in Kiddushin Ayin Hayamid Beis quotes Machlokes, whether or not the halacha recognizes their gerus. They only converted because of their fear of these lions, and according to one opinion, therefore, their gerus is invalid. The Gemara actually paskins that even a gerus, which is miyira, is still recognized by the halacha. But in the case of Kusim, according to the Man D'Omer, that they were not Jews, they continued to worship idols. And that's testified by the Pasuk in Tanakh. And therefore, their gerus was never a gerus, because they never intended really to observe the Torah. Whereas, according to the other Man D'Omer, they were geri emes, and later on, they accepted Judaism and they converted, irrelevant to the Yira, the fear of Arayos. And you'll see this all here, Tosus Diramaskal Gere. And according to the Rashba in Yevamos, there was really only one Gerus, one single historical process of conversion. But the question is, and that was the machlokes in the sugya there, whether they were motivated by the fear of Arias or for the love of truth. In some later period of time, the Gemara testifies in Chulin that the Chachamim found that they were serving a Dmus Yonah on Har Grizim, and they made a gzera that the status of Kusim would be equal to that of Goyim, of Akum, for all Dinim. And this Brisa now, Tana Rabbanan, records a question about the status of Kusim. Shor Shel Yisrael Shenogach Shor Shel Kusi Patur. We don't have to pay damages to the Kusim. And even if you assume that they were Gerim and they had the status of Yisrael, the Chachamim imposed a knas, a penalty, on the Kusim in order to be marchik them, because, as we said before, they discovered that they were serving idols and we shouldn't marry them. And in the flip side, v'shal kusi shenogach shor shal Yisrael, tam mishalim chatzi nezek umud mishalim nezek sholem. According to the Tanakhama of this Brisa, the din of kusi, since they are Jewish, in other words, the halacha does recognize their gerus, is they get the kula, the hakola, the leniency of paying chatzi nezek if their shor was nogech our shor in the first three times. And Rabbi Meir disagrees. Rabbi Meir Omer, shor shel Yisrael shenogach shor shel kusi potah shel kusi shenogach shor shel sobein tamim mu'im shalom nezek sholem. It means that the shor of a kusi is the same as the shor shel akum. And the Gemara says, lemeimra, should we therefore conclude based on this price of the son of Rabbi Meir, kusim geri arayasim, that the halacha doesn't recognize their gerus, they only converted because of fear, and they remain akum. And just like we saw in that Mishnah, that an akum pays nezek sholem on the first negicha, he doesn't have the kol of the hakola of tamus, the same din, Rabbi Meir applies to kusi. Uremini, now we have a Mishnah in Masechta Nida that's going to present Rabbi Meir in a way that contradicts our Rabbi Meir here in the Braisa. And Rabbi Meir's Mitame, the Kusim Midin Nida, which means that they have the regular Jewish din of Tumas Nida, and that implies that we do recognize the Gerus of the Kusim, whereas here in the prices we saw, they pay, the Kusi pays Nezek Sholem, we don't have to pay to be Mazik them because Gerei Arayasim, they aren't Gerim. So the Mishnah in Nida, Kol Haksamim, the din of a Kesem is that if a woman finds a large a stain of Dam on her B'gadim, that is Mitami them. So the Dam Nida is Mitame, and that's in Masechta Nida, it says Dam Anidu Basra Mes Mitamim Lachim Mitamim Yaveshim, but that's only Dam of Benos Yisrael. The Dam of Benos Goyim is not Mitame, because the Torah says Daber B'nei Yisrael Lemar Ishaki Tazri of Yolda Zohar Utmea Shivas Yom Kimei Nidas Davasa Titma. And the Chazal derived that Benos Yisrael Metamis Benida Velo Benos Goyim. And there's only a din Midrabanan of Exera of Zav with regard to a non-Jewish woman, as the Gemara establishes in the first parak of Shabbos. But that Exera of Dam Nidus in the case of Abbas Goyim only applies to Dam Lach Hayotzim Igufo, but not to Ksamim. There was never a Gzeir of Ksamim with regard to Benos Goyim. So now here's a case of a Kesem, Haboyim Mirekem, that came from a city called Rekem, Tahorim. In other words, we can assume that this Kesem, coming from Rekem, where the population of which was mostly Goyim, is that Kesem doesn't have the status of Dam Nida, even Midrabbanan. It was never Gzeres Ksamim on Benos Goyim. Rabbi Yehuda Mitame. Rabbi Yehuda says that even in the case of a Kesem that comes from Rekem, it's Tomim, and they shame Gerim Vitoim, that the members, the population of Rekem is made up of Gerim. And technically, their Gerus is a complete valid gerus, even though they were knowing kechukas hagoyim, but nevertheless they had the status of gerim, and therefore, although Yisrael mumar is excluded from many dinim, but nevertheless his ksamim, or in this case a woman's kesem, from a mumar is tamei. They are included in this gzera. Tosus in the name of Rabbeinu Tam has a discussion about whether or not this rekem here in our sugya is the same identical rekem mentioned at the Mishnah at the beginning of Gittin, which was on the eastern border of Eretz Yisrael. There it seems that the members of that community of rekem were Jews, where here it seems that the ksamim that came from rekem might be tar because of the non-Jewish population. And that's not the same rekem from which the shluchim would bring gittin, because the Jewish population. In any event, what's important for us now is the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda mitame, as we said before, they are gerim. Now, mibein anochrim tahorim, if we find a kesem amongst the non-Jews, then there's, as we said before, there's no tumas kesem midrabanan on a bas goyim. Mibein Yisrael, mibein akusim, is now we say that if you find a kesem and you're not sure it's from the bnos Yisrael or from the kusim, that kesem is tamei. And Rabbi Meir mitamei, and the reason for that is the way the Gemara Nida explains this is that if it's a makom hefker and the Yisrael there are assumed to wash out their clothing, that's called Yisrael shomrim al kismehem lechabson, and therefore we can assume that if we find these ksamim in a kind of a no man's land, which is called makom hefker, im nimtzu b'makom Yisrael tahorim. So if we have reason to attribute these ksamim to Yisrael, then we're going to assume that these ksamim are definitely not dam nida, because a Yisrael would be makbid on tum of etara and therefore clean these begadim that have stains on them of a tumah sort. But what's the deal if we find ksamim mibein hakusim and Rav Meir's mitame saying that the kusim are not careful to make sure that their ksamim are cleaned if it's a kesem of damni? The v'chachom mitarem mishum shalom nechshedu al kismehem. Chacham will trust the kusim, and they too will watch their ksamim and make sure they're clean, and we don't have to be chosh for dam nida. Whereas Rabbi Meir is mitami them, he doesn't rely on the kusim. But in any event, the premise of Rabbi Meir is that these ksamim are tame. Alma, we see kasav Rabbi Meir kusim geri emesein, that their ksamim are tmeim because they are Jewish girls, and the Geirus of Kusim is recognized by the Halacha. And if that be the case, that's a stira to Rabbi Meir that we saw earlier, quoted in the Braisa, saying that a Shar Shel Yisrael, Shenagach Shar Shel Kusi Patur, whereas Shel Kusi, Shenagach Shar Shel Yisrael, Bein Tam, Bein Muad, Mishalim, Nezek, Sholem. The Chachamim are Mitayer, not because the Kusim are not Yisrael, but because even though they are Yisrael, and that means they kusim geri emes haim, nevertheless, they are shomer on kismeim, and that's why the chachom are metayer. Rav Meir is metame because they geri emes, but they're not shomer kismeim. So the machlok stream of Meir and chachom revolves around whether they are shomeros al kismeim or not. Now, in the case of Shar Shal Yisrael Shenogach Shar Shal Kusi Patur, as we saw earlier, that Patur is based on a Knas in the case of Kusim. In other words, back in the Brisa, there was no question about the fact that Shor Shel Yisrael, Shenogach Shor Shel Kusi Patur, that wasn't even an issue. The issue was Shel Kusi Shenogach Yisrael, whether he has a Patur of Tamus of Chatzi Nezek, or he pays Nezek Shalom immediately. So that we're going to have to assume, and that's crystal clear, that the halacha that we don't pay the kusi, in the case where we were nogeach, we were mazik the kusi, is based on the halacha of knas. Now, even though there's a halacha of knas, in the case of shor shel kusi shenogach shor shel Yisrael, according to the Tanakama of our Brice of Rabbi Meir, the kusi only pays chatzi nezek. So the din of, and the status of a kusi is that of a Yisrael just with a knas. Rav Meir, on the other hand, the Brice went a step further and he said that in the case of shor shel kusi shenogach, he pays nezek shalem, and the Gemara derived from that that kusi geire arayas him, they have a din of a guy. In other words, at this point in the sugya, the Gemara doesn't believe that the knas would go as far as to impose a chiv nezek sholim even on a shor tam in the case of shor shel kusi shenogach. The knas is a knas hapoter, which is mafkia, the tviya of the kusi nizak, but it's not a knas that is mafkir their mamon to say that the kusi has to pay mamon which he doesn't have to pay as a Yisrael. And it must be, therefore, that Rabbi Meir assumes that the kusi is a guy, and therefore he pays nezek shalim on the first negicha, but yet he's metami the ksomim on Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo assumes that according to Rabbi Meir, enochinami the gere emes, and that's the mission of ksomim. And that which Rabbi Meir says in the Braisa, that shor shel kusi pays nezek shalim, even though he's a tam, knasu shekonas Rabbi Meir b'mamonu shalo yitamu behen. The Gemara now, in the name of Rabbi Avo, goes as far, you know, out on a limb, which the Gemara until now was unwilling to do so, and assume the knas is not just to create a ptur of mazik, such that the kusi aniza cannot collect money, but it even goes as far as to be mafkir their momen through this knas, and take money out of their pocket, and have them pay nezek shalem. And here's where Rabbi Meir went beyond the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama was not willing to counsel them in the offensive, so to speak, when their shor was mazikos to be mafkia and mafkir their momen. Rabbi Meir went even a step further and was willing to say that where their shor is nogeach, we're going to take money, which as a Yisrael would not be collectible, out of their pockets. And all this is Rabbeinu Shalom Yitamu Bahen, to make sure that our daughters would not marry them, because there was such mamzerus there amongst the kusim that we have to be marchik them, and that's the sugin kedushin daf ayin vav. Reb Zera is not happy with this statement, this answer of Rabbi Avo. Masa Rabbi Zera, based on a Mishnah in Ksubis, the Elu Naris Sheyesh Lem Knas, that in the case of a Jewish man who has a rape relationship with a Bas Yisrael and has to pay the knas of Chamishim Kesef, and that's recorded in the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim, what happens if he has a relationship with a mamzeres or a nesina or a kusis, which is a nara asura? And the Mishnah at the beginning of Elul Naris paskins that he has to pay to the father of this nara chamishim kesef, even though the bia was a bias isur. And in this group we find kusis. So, okay, you want to tell me that the Mishnah reflects the Shita Rabbi Meir that a kusis has the status of Geri Emes, and therefore she could demand knas, her father can collect knas, excuse me, can collect the knas of ones, I mean chamishim kesev, but isal kedaitach shekonas Rabbi Meir b'mamonam, according to everything you've been saying, Rabbi Avo, that Rabbi Meir went very far with this knas to be mafke the moment of a kusi in order to be marchik them shalitamu bahen. Is Hachinami here to niknos? Rabbi Meir should have imposed the knas on kusim, and the ones should have been potur from paying chamishim kesef, kedesh lo yitamu bahen. All this included in the gzera. Amar Abaye says that even if I grant Rabbi Avo's premise that there is such a thing in Rabbi Meir of a knas that would take money out of their pocket, but here we're going to say that the Ma'anis has to pay Chamishim Kesev. We're not going to be Mafkir the Momon. Kidei, and here we're on the top of Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, Shaloye Chote Niskar, so that to avoid a situation where this man had an onus relationship, an illegal relationship with a Nara Kusis, and now he gets away scot-free. There's no punishment, he doesn't have to pay any money. So really, from a as far as her perspective, her status as a recipient of this money, Rabbi Meir would have gone as far as to say, knas, that we want to shalo yitam and treat them almost as goyim, and therefore there should be no payment of knas. But the Rabbanan had a second shekel on the other side to make sure that a person shouldn't be a chote niskar and get away with it scot-free without paying this knas. So the Gemara asks, neisvei laniyim, why not create a situation where instead of paying the chamishim kesef to the kusim, pay it to the aniyim? There won't be a chote niskar. The knas of shalo yitamehen would be fulfilled, and it's efshel kaim shdei mi avi cake and eat it. Amar Rav Mori mishum davi momon she'en lo tovim. It would be meaningless to impose such a payment of chamishim kesef to the aniyim, because who's he going to pay it to? Which ani would have the ability to claim, you owe me money, give me that stucca money? To every single ani, he could say, well, I don't want to give to you, I'll give to a different ani. And at the end of the day, this knas is something of chamishim kesef, is something that's impossible to implement. Now, the Rishonim ask a question, Beis Din is yad aniyim. That's going to be a sugi we'll have later, Mirtz Hashem. And if that be the case, then why is this called Mamon She'en Lo Tovim? Let Beis Din be Tovea the money and then divvy it up amongst the Aniyim. And perhaps the Gemara's answer here of Mamon She'en Lo Tovim is a little bit different. That since he should be paying the 50 to that person who against whom he sinned, Ein mishi yitrach lachzar achar edim kidei lochiach shechata. He's not paying the one to whom he sinned. Who's going to be tovea him and bring edim against him? There's, you know, that far Beis Din doesn't have to go in terms of their representation of the aniyim. So Bli Neder and tomorrow Shia will pick up the Mishnah here on Daf Lamed Tes Omer Aleph.